Thank you so much to CM and Rabbi Gerson for hosting tonight. Shkoyach to everyone coming out with the threat of a storm. Michelle called it and said, we'll come out. And Michelle saying, Baruch Hashem, my tefillas worked. Shabbos was beautiful. It all came out. All it came out. I know. You're here. You're here. Baruch Hashem. Amazing, amazing. So there's a lot to talk about tonight, but obviously Parshas Tetzaveh, we've learned about in the past, but of course it's Purim. It's Purim. So we're going to take tonight to just take a step back and really appreciate Purim, right? We've quoted a lot from Rabbi Shemeyer Morgenstern Svarim, a great tzaddik in Eretz Yisrael, New Shalim, originally from England, who's been sharing more and more, and a former camper from Camp Masorah is one of the key people who is involved in spreading his Torah around, Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld, and a nephew of mine actually is involved in translating a lot of the Torah. But tonight I wanted to share a mahalach from Rabbi Shemeyer that really is the Arizal. It's all from the Arizal, from the Kavanas Ari, that really just tries to bring down what Purim is all about. Because we know, and he points out, that so often we prepare for Purim, and we experience Purim. And when we're on the other side of the Purim, what do we feel like? What?
What happened?
What just happened? What just happened? And not because we're hungover, God forbid. That's not what we're talking about. But we're just like, what happened? Like, we prepare and we prepare and we go through this day and we're told like it's the Holy of Holies. The Arizal says there's no day like it in the whole year. The tefillos have such an amazing koach. Get up for Vasikin if you can get up that early. But this year it's very early, right? We don't change the clock yet. So Vasikin is 6 a.m., 6 a.m. minyan with sunrise at 6:22. But then we go through the day and it's a crazy, crazy hectic day. And we get out on the other side of the day and we're like, okay, at least I could push off the kids to school tomorrow, you know? At least, okay, Purim Carnival the next day. Purim Carnival the next day, Ariana, is that?
Wednesday?
In school, right, I'm saying, right, the kids, so it's like not a real day. Okay, just go out in your costume. I don't have to worry about how you dressed, you know? Just go off. So tonight we'll try to understand a little bit what's the Yesod of Purim and how is it seen through all of the mitzvahs of the day. As the day progresses, there's actually an order to the mitzvahs. Often we don't realize that, but the Gemara points out to us that certain mitzvahs are supposed to take place at certain times. And so what is the Yesod of Purim? So we've mentioned it before, and we mentioned in Parshas Mishpatim how Purim is probably the day that is the most misunderstood, and it's the day that really we find the schism between, you know, the law and the spirit, just totally, totally going in separate directions. Because even the laws of the day might lead a person astray from what the essence of the day is, because we get so caught up in it and we lose what the Yesod is. And what is the Yesod of Purim? So the Ari HaKadosh explains, Arizal tells us, and in this way, Purim is, of course, connected to Pesach, that Purim is the day in which the oneness of God, again, it's going to sound like big ideas, but let's try and digest it and work through it. The Yichud Hashem, the oneness of God, is expressed to the greatest degree without any hastaras, without any concealments. Now, what does that mean? It means that this is the day when God is pouring a certain divine energy that we can tap into to help us feel and take in and make part of us the idea that everything that happens in this world ultimately is from Hashem. This is the divine energy in this day. And the reason why it's the greatest day, because there are other times, Rabbi Shemeyer says, that energy is always in the world. The energy of Hashem, again, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, whenever we say Shema, that's the energy. That Hashem is the Adon Kol, Hashem is the master of everything, Hashem is beyond time, Hashem is the Bor Yumanigal Chalabruim Elokeinu, he's the Kal Yachal, he's the one, Balakol Choskulam, the one that makes everything happen. But Purim is the day when this energy is coming down and it's totally, totally removed from all the klipas, from all the concealments. Even while we're in a regular day. Meaning Pesach, Yom Kippur, these are days that we take a step back. These are days where the days themselves help put us into a certain mindset, help remove certain distractions, Purim, there's no Isser Malach on Purim. A person can go to work on Purim and have a regular day. You know, some accountants, this time of year, Purim, it's a regular day. I've gotten many shilas about people, like, does it have to be a fleishik suda, or can my bagel and cream cheese be motzi me in the Purim suda? And that's where the minhag that some of us, a few of partners and I, Adam Dolan was the original partner with me, Adam Dolan Zocher Latov, that we would give out after the Vasikim minyan bagels and a little cream cheese and a cup of coffee, or we gave water, then we realized water might not be considered a food for Matanas Avionim, just even if you're giving fancy water, that might not count. And Shalchmanos, sorry, the Vas waters might not count as one of the foods for Shalchmanos. Sparkling? Sparkling with a taste or without a taste? Without a taste. So add a little M&M with it, you know? put a Hershey Kiss with it. You're good to go. You're good to go, right? Why? And many times people have told me when I gave them a bagel and a little cream cheese and a drink, an orange juice or an apple juice or a cup of coffee, and people said to me, literally, in a brown bag, said, Rabbi, this is going to be my Purim Suda. Because right from Vasik, and they had to go to work, they caught a bus, and they weren't going to get home till later. You know, it's a regular day, Purim. And Dafka, in the Hester, Dafka, in all the concealments, that's where we have to be able to see and feel this Yichud Hashem, the oneness of Hashem, of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, yeah?
How's that different than Hanukkah?
No, Hanukkah is a different avod entirely. It's not that Hashem is the Kol Yachol and makes everything happen. Hanukkah is the avod and seeing into ourselves. Hanukkah is seeing the deepest levels of neshama where we were. Remember, Hanukkah, what did we do? We were Moser Nefesh for Hashem on Hanukkah, right?
Okay, because then it's also a holiday.
Right, exactly. They're the only two rabbinic holidays. As one of the Ger Rebbe says, the only holidays without Havdalah. So it never ends. These are holidays that never end. Chanukah and Purim are the two holidays that you take in. And Davka, there's no Isser Malacha. Why? Because these are the ones we need to keep going with us. But one way from Chanukah, it's us moving up. On Purim, it's Hashem coming down. That's what happens. And that's why, when we talk about the mitzvahs hayom, they follow a very specific pattern. The first mitzvah is, of course, what's the first mitzvah that we do on Purim? Mikra Megillah. Remember early on, it was Machadish something to a lot of people in Springfield that you have to hear the Megillah twice. Someone this year also asked me, Rabbi, I have to hear it twice, huh? Like, yes, you got to hear it twice. You have to hear it twice. You know, once at night and once in the morning, right? I don't know why some people had this thing that you only have to hear it at night. You didn't have to hear it. You have to hear it twice. Once at night and once during the day.
Echa.
But what?
Echa. That's why people get confused.
Oh, Echa. You think so? Oh, Purim. Maybe that's what it is. Or just Purim's a regular day, you know, and you just go about it. You know, what else do you have to do? But when we start with Mikra Megillah, because Mikra Megillah is, of course, Megillas Esther. It is Megillah, a Gilui, a revelation of everything that's hidden. In the hiddenness. And that's why there's no mention of Hashem in Megillas Esther. The only book in all of Tanakh that doesn't have God's name once. Why? Why does Hashem's name not appear in Megillas Esther once? Because it's the whole message of Purim. The whole message of Purim is with all the Hester, with all the concealments, with all the klipas, what do we have to be able to see? We have to be able to see and feel how much Hashem is just totally in control. And how much do we think that we really do? And Rabbi Chaim, again, this is all the Ari HaKadosh. The Arizal says that when you're listening to every word of the Megillah, and you should think this before you start hearing the Megillah, it says don't think this during reading the Megillah, except maybe if there's a long Haman clapping, if you go to the family reading where there's a lot of noise for Haman. So maybe at that point he says you could take a few moments to bring yourself back. But before you start listening to the Megillah, before the reading, have kavana that with every word that I'm hearing, I'm taking in more and more of this divine energy. The ability to feel and to see that everything is from Hashem. And he says, and Purim's a day that even if you don't feel it, even if you're not seeing it, the emunah, that this is what's happening on this day. What bracha do we say? Bayanim Haheim Bazman Hazeh. The bracha by Hadlakas Neris Chanukah and by Mikra Megillah. Bayanim Haheim Bazman Hazeh. It's not only by Yamim Tovim Daraisa that the same divine energy is tapped into, but it was Rav Dessler on the Misnagdish side and all the Chasidim, Alpi Kabbalah, that the divine energy in these days comes every year again. So that's why when we read the Megillah, that's what opens up tremendous pipelines in heaven. We told a story once in the past that Mikra Megillah is a time that certain souls that are caught between worlds are just allowed to enter into Gan Eden. It like opens up things down here, and it also opens up things up there. The power of Mikra Megillah is awesome. It's a tremendous, tremendous kalach, Mikra Megillah. And so that starts the process, both at night and in the morning. And what's connected then to Mikra Megillah? The Gemara actually tells us, when you have a Purim Mishulash and the different mitzvahs of the day are split up, there's one mitzvah that's always connected right to the Megillah. You know which it is? Matanis Lev Yonim. Matanis Lev Yonim is connected to the Megillah. Gemara tells us, why is that? Because the Aniyim, they hear, oh, the Megillah is being read. It must mean that they're going to give us Matanis. But there's also a deeper understanding, a deeper level. Because we know when you have something b'machshava, a Talmud of mine asked me today, he goes, but Rebbe, but how do I get the Musar from my mind to my heart? Today, this is what the guy was asking me. He's very concerned. You know, the yeshiva letters came out where guys are going to next year, and this guy is going to yeshiva. It's not known for its Musar, but he really wants to go there. His parents really want him to go there, so he's going to be going there. And said, Rebbe, what should I be concerned about? I said, make sure you have a Musar Chavrusa and attach yourself to this certain Rebbe. But I told him, I said, but he goes, but how do I get the Musar Rebbe from here to here? I said, that's like the deepest question in the world. Over lunch here, over pizza bagels, we're going to discuss how we... So we discussed it a little bit, but we know it's very hard to take something from here to here. How do you take something from here to here? Bipoel. You have to do things. There have to be actions. And so what's the first action that you do on Purim Day that makes you recognize and shows a certain hispatalus, a certain nullification of self? What is that? It's Matanis Lev Yonim. How's Matanis Lev Yonim different than the regular mitzvot tzedakah? In fact, it's so different halachically, you're not allowed to use miser money for Matanis Lev Yonim. Again, the basic is supposed to be one gift to two poor people, a gift each to each poor person. It's supposed to be something that's the cost of a meal, which certainly has gone up. I used to say $5 per ani, you could get away with that. I don't know, you could get away $5 per ani. Like, what's a lunch special at Hibachi these days? Haven't had a lunch special. Lunch specials don't really do it for me, you know what I'm saying? I think I tried a lunch special once. I'm like, nope, never again. I'm never doing that again. Even the dinner specials, you know. But Lemaisa, okay, you know. But you know, we're already getting to Purim spirit, just letting things out, you know what I'm saying? The deep secrets come out on Purim. But the idea that Matanis Lev Yonim, so I say now, I said, someone asked me, I said, the cheapest, I think, per ani is $7.50. Probably better $10 per ani. So $18, $20 per person. So that's for every person who's above bar and bat mitzvah in the home. But once you go past that, then obviously it can be most meiser. We know the Rambam and many others point out, better to give to Matanis Lev Yonim more than all the other things combined that you're going to be spending on. But why is Matanis Lev Yonim so different than the regular mitzvah of tzedakah? And again, Chazal are highlighting it to us by telling us, you can't use your regular tzedakah money for this. It's not your regular tzedakah money. Why? You know why? Because what's the halacha when it comes to Matanis Lev Yonim? Kol ha-poshet yad, nosten lo. The Yerushalmi says, whoever sticks out the hand, you give it to. You give it to that person. Ein medaktikin b'ma'os parim. Normally during years, like a famous tshuva of Rabbi Yashiv, he was asked, when you give tzedakah to those people who are collecting on Rechov Me'asharim and by Kikar Shabbos and Geula, can you count that towards your Meiser? And he said, no. He said, you can't. Most of them aren't Aniyim. Unless you really know. I just know there was one woman, you know, my brother's yeshiva used to be in the Old City, so you get to know a lot of characters that are around the Old City. There's one woman he used to collect in the Old City, not down by the Kotel, by the Rova. And, you know, one of the store owners in the Rova, Hayudi, offered her 10,000 shekel for what she was going to make on Yom Yerushalayim, just that day alone. If you have ever been in the old city in Yom Yerushalayim, you know, by the Kotel, they're replaying the tapes of Harabayit Biadenu, Harabayit Biadenu, like over and over on loudspeakers. There's no sleeping in the old city for Yom Yerushalayim for 24 hours. So a guy offered her 10,000 shekel for what she made in that one day, and she said no. So either she's really crazy, or she's a very smart businesswoman. And she figured she was going to make, you realize what she was going to make? She was going to make over $3,000 in one day. You know, that's what her cheshbon was. So that's not staka. But there are many who say, that is matanas lavyanim. Again, ideally, you should find that the person has the status of an avion. But matanas lavyanim is beyond that. And that's why some say, it can't be miser money. You know why? Because you don't know who you're giving to. Call a posh yadnos and the kabbalah. Some say when you give tzedakah, daf, you're supposed to see the person in hand to hand, and there's a whole thing with the yud, the hey, the vav, and the hey Hashem's name. But Nai Rizal says on Yom Kippur, on Purim, dafka don't see anything. You just give. Call a posh yadnos. Whoever sticks out a hand, you don't see the person. You just give in. That's it. That's what this is. Why? Because what we have to do is so often when we come to our money, we're so meduyuk, we're so careful, right? So careful with our money. So how do you demonstrate? Hashem, I know you're in charge of the world. Hashem, I know. I put in hishtadlus. I put in effort. And you know what, Hashem? It's all you. I'm going to put my effort, but I know ultimately, Hashem, it all comes from you. One of the ways is how we treat our wealth. Right? Or Moshe Wolfson often says, I've quoted him many times, that people make a mistake. They think that Hashem is asking us for 10%. No. The mistake is Hashem gives you 90%. It's 100% Hashem's. Hashem lets you take 90%. That's the Chiddush, right? And so that's why when we come to the mitzvah Matanas of Yonim, it's the first thing that not just the machshava, not just in our thoughts, but b'maisa, b'fo'el, and actions, right? That's how we make these broad ideals, these wonderful thoughts, as part of ourselves by doing actions based upon these ideals. And that's Matanas Levyonim. Then we come to the mitzvah of Mishlach Manos. What's the mitzvah of Mishlach Manos about? How is this different than the regular V'hafta L'recha Kmocha? What's Mishlach Manos about? So we know there's a famous sheet in that, one of the early Achronim, who says that you have to, the ideal way to do Mishlach Manos is what? That you don't give it yourself, someone else gives it to you. Why? Because what does it say? Mishlach Manos is Shlereyeu, meaning that you send it. So you don't give it yourself, you send it. Zakt, the Ria Kaddish. You know what Mishlach Manos is telling us? Mishlach Manos is telling us, who do you think you are, Kimosabi? You know what you are? You're just a Shliach. You're Hashem's shliach. Mishlach manos. You don't have to give someone else to give it. You are gufa the shliach. You're Hashem's shliach in this world. Whatever you're doing, you are the one that's carrying out a shliach. You don't have to be Lubavitch to be a shliach. Right? We're all shluchei derachmana. We're all messengers of Hashem. You're messenger of Hashem, a holy messenger of Hashem, to raise some of Hashem's children. That's a big shlichus Hashem gives you. We're shliach of Hashem in so many different ways. We're shluchei derachmana. We're Hashem's messengers. And Purim is the one day of the year that we have to remind ourselves of this. That when we're running out with the mishlach manos and we're giving these gifts, ishl reyehu, who is the mishalayach? You're the mishalayach telling your kid, oh, run up to those stairs? No. Hashem is the mishalayach sending you to drive around to give these things out. And the Ari HaKadosh says, Rabbi Shemayer points out, that when we come to the avodah of Mishlach Manos, we have to remember really what our tafkid is, that each and every one of us comes to this world with a tremendous tafkid. And each and every one of us is so unique, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us our kochos, hanefesh. No two people look alike, exactly alike. Some people look alike, not exactly alike, right? Why? Because just like no one looks alike, the kochos hanefesh of people are also different. our spiritual makeup is different. We have different tafkidim, different roles, that we are the shluchim of Hashem, that we have to fulfill, that no one else can really fulfill. That's a mishlach manos, ish l'reyeyu. And then we come to the final mitzvah of the day. Many say the mitzvah of the day, although Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was concerned, he would have a little suda in the morning, but the main suda really is supposed to be when? The main suda is supposed to be in the afternoon. So you start with this, the Megillah at night, Megillah in the morning. We spoke about that in the past. Why Dafka 2 from Rav Salvechik? One is a Megillah of tefillah, of yearning, of reaching out from pain. The other is the Megillah Lahagid Babokar Chastecha Vemunascha Balelos. Right, the other is the Megillah of praise, of Shevach Vada to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But then we come to the Suda. And what's the Suda of Purim? So he says, Rabbi Chaimer, again, all from the Ari HaKadosh says, that what's eating? What's eating? Eating is one of the most powerful vehicles to connect spiritual and physical. Right, Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal would often say, what was the first mitzvah given to Adam? You know what it was? Not saying my wife's ever wrong. But Rav Aaron had a little bit of a different perspective. The first thing is, Mikol Eitz Hagan, Achol Tochel. That you should eat from the Eitz Hagan. Wait, let's get that on tape. You said it is on tape. Okay, Mikol Eitz Hagan, Achol Tochel, that you shall... It's Purim, Adar, Leibdik. Right? Mikol Eitz Hagan, that you have to eat. Then there's one, don't eat. The first thing Hashem tells Adam, eat. Es mein Kind, right? Why does every Jewish mother want their kid to eat? Why? Achila is the combining of the physical and the spiritual. Remember, we once spoke about this. Rabbi Shimshon Pinkis Tzitzal has a beautiful piece. We once spoke about this years ago, and Parshas told us, why is it Yitzchak, before he's going to give over the bracha, what does he need to do? He tells Esav, go make matamin, go make me the food that I love. What's going on? Yitzchak Avinu is saying, make me a tomahawk steak, then I'll give you the bracha. What? Yitzchak Avinu, the Ola Tamima, the holiest of the holies? You know, aside from like Moshe Rabbeinu, the human being that probably broke the bounds of nature more than anyone else, especially those that say his soul left him at Da'kei Dunkei. I mean, Yitzchak Avinu was in a different world. He needed a steak to give a bracha. So we once had a shiur a number of years ago, Parshas Toldos, is a whole arichos, a beautiful piece. One of my favorite pieces from all of Teferi Shimshon, from Shimshon Pinkis, Ala Torah, where he says, the kalach achila, we don't understand. The power of eating is what ties together ruchnius and gashmius. Make a bracha, how we eat, what we eat. Do you notice how many laws are associated with eating in the Torah? Why? Because it's one of the most important vehicles for bringing spiritual and physical together. So when you go through the whole day, the Megillah at night, Megillah in the morning, then Matanas Avyonim, about your money, then Mishlach Manus, to recognize, what am I doing in this world? What's my role in this world? Then you sit down at your Suda. And what's Suda's Purim supposed to be? It's supposed to be taking all of these ideas that you heard, you listened, you gave, you walked, you did. Now, what are you doing? You're ingesting it. Now you're mamish making it a part of you. That every bite that you eat, to understand that I'm being mekayim mitzvah of Sudas Purim, of celebrating what? The Yichud Hashem, the oneness of God, in the clearest form ever. And that's why when the Gemara asks, Haman min atar minayin, where's Haman alluded to? Hamin ha'etz, from the tree that I told you not to eat, you ate from? Hashem says, you totally corrupted Achila. Achila is such an amazing, amazing power. That's what the Suda is. That's why during the Suda, there's supposed to be tremendous Divrei Torah, the Simcha. That's why some say at the Suda, you know, you start learning Hilchas Pesach, not only because Shloshim Yom Kodom Lachag, right, 30 days before the Suda's Purim, is you're holding by Erev Pesach, but also Pesach, Lismach Geula, Geula, put the Geulas together, one Geula, the oneness of Hashem, that Hashem is Bari Manning from the Hester, that we're pulling God out of the hiddenness, connecting to the Yontif when everything was just totally obvious and totally blew our minds, and it couldn't stay with us, because that's not what every day is. We have multiple reminders of it every day. Yetzias Mitzrayim, Yetzias Mitzrayim, Yetzias Mitzrayim. But it's so hard to live with that. And that's why there's also a very strange mitzvah. A mitzvah that goes against everything that you would say the Torah stands for, which is, of course, Chayiv Inishl B'sumya B'pur Yada Lo Yada. What does that mean? A person is obligated to imbibe an intoxicating drink on Purim until you don't know the difference between cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai. Really? What? So first of all, just in a halachic sense, we have to know what this means. I mean, the Mishnah Berurah points out, if it'll cause you to miss one mitzvah of the Rabbanan, you can't do it. If it'll cause you to miss one mitzvah of the Rabbanan, you can't do it. But where does it even come from? What's it all about? So what's it all about? What's it all about? And when a person drinks, what happens when a person drinks? And again, we know we're not talking about a person. And Rabbi Shemaya brings down that when a person's supposed to drink, now it's not dafka, not whiskey, not scotch, not something that's so much proof that after two shots, three shots, you're out. That's not what it is. What are you supposed to drink? Dafka wine, specifically wine, because wine you take and it has to be a cup. You're not supposed to go. You drink it slowly. And cup after cup after cup, and slowly, what do you feel? What do you feel cup after cup after cup?
Tired.
Tired, yes. Well, you should know that that's the ultimate. That's the ultimate, but that you know you're not in control. To walk to the bathroom, you need like one of your kids' help, one of your stronger kids that can actually hold you up, you know? I'm saying theoretically, if a person would would get drunk on Purim, right? You are totally out of control. Not in a wild way. You can't do anything. You can't do anything. You can't walk. You need someone to hold you up, to take you somewhere. You know I am nothing. And that's why the Rama says, what is it? You drink a little and then what do? You go to sleep. When you go to sleep, what do we say before we go to sleep? Adon Olam, Shema, Imruchi Gavi Asi, Hashem Li V'lo Yira. Like, we know when we're asleep, we are totally defenseless, right? But what's Purim? Purim's a day we know we're never totally defenseless. What are you talking about? You know what Purim is? Purim's a day when I know more than any other day of the year, Hashem Li V'lo Yira. And despite the horrific tzaras, things that we don't understand. The Hester is getting stronger and stronger. The Klipas, Rahman al-Slam, today, yesterday, last week, what's going on in Arzeno HaKadosha, it's like so debilitating and so frustrating and causes us to call out and to cry out. But Purim is the day. Purim is the day when Jews have to celebrate no matter what. Because that's the message of Purim. That in the deepest Hester, we have to recognize who's there. We have to recognize that Hashem is the one that runs everything. And the Maharal Miprag, this is something that we've shared many times from Revolbi and Rabbi Shemaya and Biyam Darkecha, and the chapter on Simcha, he points out, the Maharal says, what is real Simcha? What is real Simcha? It's Shlemus. It's being whole. That's what Simcha is. It's not fun. It's not pleasure. Real simcha, he says, is shlemus, is being whole. How does a person become whole? The Maharal says there's only one way a person can ever be whole. A person is only whole when they're joined with the Borei Olam. That's it. It's the only way a person can ever be whole. And that's why Rabbi Shemaya in Biyam Darkecha and the Erech HaSimcha in the chapter in Simcha, he points out why there's so many sad people in the world. People are just like looking, that they're like lost. Because if you don't have the Ribono Shel as part of your life, you're not going to feel simcha. You're not shalem. You're not whole. Again, as one of my Talmidim asked me, so Rebbe, so a guy can't be b'simcha? No, a guy can have a relationship with Hashem. Absolutely. a non-Jew could be shalem in the relationship with God? Absolutely. We don't believe Muslims of over the Avodah Zarah, they have a true conception of Hashem. Unfortunately, some prophets came and trying to mess it up for them. Even Christians, we know there's a machlokas rishonim. And there's my famous story with my friend Joe, who hangs out in the barbershop. When he once asked me, is he going to heaven? And I tested him on 6 out of the 7 Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. I asked him, Joe, this is going to sound weird, but you know, do you ever rip the limb off a live animal and eat it? He's like, no, Rabbi. I'm like, you're good. And he's like, wait, Rabbi, I'm an idolater, according to you, aren't I? And I said to him, well, Joe, tell me, a little sticky theological question. What do you believe about the Trinity? And I was shocked when he told me, oh, Rabbi, no one believes that. I was like, what? Joe's a guy, if his daughter married a Protestant, he'd sit Shiva. You know, he's like that type of guy, Joe. He's like, and he was like, oh, Rabbi, no one believes that. I'm like, then you're good, even according to the Rabbah. I didn't say that. I'm like, then according to all, you know, we as Jews, we believe Kayim can have a relationship with Hashem. They can have that shleimus of being with Hashem. We're not the only ones. We don't believe that. But this idea, this is what Purim's all about. This is the avodah of Purim. And this is how the Rabbi Shemayer has through a lot of his svarim. The key is that we have to remind ourselves of this over and over and over. And that's like one of his big things I've spoken about at Shal Shudas many times. Like, learning Torah has such a great power. How come so many people have done it their whole life and they haven't been transformed by it one iota? So Richard Meyer says, because before you learn Torah, you have to daven to Hashem and ask Hashem, Hashem, please let this Torah enter my soul. Hashem, please, what I do in Shir, what I try and do in Shir every day before we start Gemara. Sometimes we're running late and I don't get to it because I set my timer for 32 seconds and everyone closes their eyes and we all daven in our own words to Hashem. Hashem, let the light of your presence enter into me through every word of Torah that I'm about to learn. Again, we could do it here also, but I'm always running late. I apologize. but before you learn Torah, this is what you should do. And that way you access it. It says, Oso Adavar, same thing when it comes to Purim. You want the Megillah? You want Matanos Levyonim? You want the Mishloach Manos? You want the Suda to affect you? You have to make Hachanos. I try before the Purim Suda to go into my room and to get myself ready for the Avodah, the Purim Suda. I read some different things from different Svarim HaKadoshim to get myself ready for the Avodah of the Purim Suda. It's the Ni'ilah of Purim. It's the Ni'ilah of Purim. Mamish, that's what the Suda is. That's what the Suda can be. And it's when we realize, just like in Ni'ilah, we realize that our whole year is being decided right now. It's not in our hands. We're just going to daven and throw ourselves on the mercy of the court. So to at the Purim Suda, when we come to that Purim Suda, we're eating, and with every bite of food, we're thinking, Hashem, please let the Yichud come into me, let it become part of me, let me be able to keep Purim going all year, right? And the Chayiv Inish L'Besume, again, you don't have to get drunk. Even if you want to drink a little bit, or even if not, just to know what the message of Chayiv Inish L'Besume is on Purim, that we're not in control. That's really what it's about. And that's the greatest joy that a person can have. That's the greatest simcha a person can have. When you recognize ultimately what happens, kol David Rachman al Tavavid, we don't understand it. We don't know why. Right? Azim alei schog pinu, only us. Az yashir Moshe v'nei Yisrael, azim alei schog pinu. Then our mouths will be filled with laughter. Not now. Not now in this world. Our mouths aren't filled with laughter. So much pain, there's so much suffering. Rachman al Tzlan. Do you realize, like 2 weeks ago, two brothers, Erev Shabbos, Motzei Shabbos, the Palei boys, now the Yaniv boys, Hillel and Yigal, that both buried today. It's crazy. There's so much suffering. We can't laugh. We can't. But there's one day a year we laugh. What's the day? Purim. Because Purim is the day of loss of love. Purim's the day of the Yichud of Hashem, the Megillas Hester from the deepest concealments. We pull out God from it, and we pull ourselves out of it. And Hashem should just help us, as many discuss, that when Mashiach comes, Purim will be the biggest of holidays. We should celebrate Purim soon with Mashiach Tzidkenu. Azimalis Chokpina, when we'll be able to smile and laugh every day of the year. Shkreich.